Very good. We've had a series of topics this month on creating our life. And tonight is dedicated to manifesting. And in one sense of the word, of matter, we always manifest everything. That's what we do. We look at all of creation and we manifest our particular view of creation. We're all unique. Everybody is totally different, and yet we share so much with each other. And part of our creation is how we fit in. Where are we in the grand scheme of things? We look around and we start judging ourselves and we say, I'm better than, you know, the homeless person pushing a shopping cart up the street, but I'm not as good as Bill Gates. I'm somewhere in the middle here, and then we keep honing it down to where, you know, gosh, I'm driving a nice car, but the next, you know, the Toyota Camry is really nice, but the Lexus would really be a better car. So we're always kind of looking, and it's in, I think, our natural tendency to try to better ourselves, to better our condition, to be happier, to be more loving, and to have a more fulfilling life. And that's really a good thing. There's nothing wrong with wanting to manifest a really good life for yourself, to make yourself happy. We can justify that a lot of times by saying, well, we want to do it for others, but, you know, sometimes it's good just to do it for yourself. To realize that you are at a certain level of experience and you want to change. Now, the truth of the matter is most people don't change very much. They come into this world and they're given a description of the world. They're given a language. They're given a family that they know. They're in a certain area or geographical location. And they stay pretty much in that same area their whole life. They may move a little bit. Let's say maybe their folks were at one level of economic realization and they, through their own efforts of going to college and learning new skills, were able to move into a completely better and different level of experience. But it really doesn't matter where or what level of experience that you're in. What really does matter is the state of mind that you're in when you're there. I think I'll repeat that. It doesn't matter what you're experiencing. What does matter is how you are experiencing it. We can be in the most beautiful place on earth, and if our state of mind is depressed, or if we're feeling like we're not measuring up, if our self-esteem is low, and we just feel like everything is terrible, then that most beautiful place will not be very beautiful for us. On the other hand, we can be in a pretty squalid condition, and look at all the squalor around us and all the people who are there, and we can just see, my goodness, you know, isn't so bad. I was taken back by some emails that I received from a friend of mine, and it was a series of letters of this person who had experienced the tsunami in Japan, and they were letters full of people working together, of cooperating, of having courtesy, and I thought, you know, gosh, this was a horrible, terrible tragedy, and yet people who are there are really doing heroic things. And you see other people who just, you know, lose it when they don't get to go to a movie that they wanted to go to or something. So the state of mind is really very important. I think when it comes to manifesting, we sometimes lose track of what we're looking at. We think that if we get something or we attain a certain level of competence that we will be happy. If we have the right partner, we will be happy. If we go to the event, we will be happy. If we have the nice home, we'll be happy. Or if we have the nice tent, we'll be happy. And none of these things really will give us lasting happiness. you may get them for a while. Sure, you'll be happy for a while, but after a while, that void that's within that wants to be filled will keep searching for the new lover, the one that will really do it this time, or the house that will really make it feel good this time, or the car that will make it, this is the best car ever. And as long as we're reaching out and grabbing things and we don't have the right state of mind, we're never going to be happy, we're never going to be satisfied, and our life will be miserable. Just look around and you see that. On the other hand, if you have the right state of mind, things are pretty good. Things go well. Now, I'm going to move to the next step in this process, which is manifesting. And I'm going to assume that you've already worked it out, that whether you get something or not is not going to really fulfill you, but it might be an experience that you would just like to have. Let's say, for instance, you want to go to the Mardi Gras. And you've always read books about it. You think, you know, before I die, I'd like to go see the Mardi Gras. But this is a nice thing to do. Why not? It doesn't hurt anybody. And as a matter of fact, it would be good for you to go there. So the first thing you do is you start thinking about it. You start making your plans. And in your mind, you start seeing it. Because from a mystical point of view, there's this creative substance that's always trying to take form. It takes form in the mold that the mind creates. And so if you think of a jello mold, then you have this mold in your mind of something, and it's a jello mold, and you pour the jello in and you put it in the refrigerator and it cools down and it solidifies into jello, and you can take it out, remove the mold, and there it is. Well, creative mind is a lot like that, actually. You create a desire, you create something that you would like to experience, and you hold it. You don't keep changing the mold. You hold it with an unbending will and intent, realizing that it's not going to really make you superior if you get it, but what it's going to do is going to add to your life. Why not? Why not? So, let's say, for instance, that you would like to get the perfect job. And so let's create the mold for the perfect job. First thing is you create the mold, you say, I want a job, and you don't say who or where it is, but what you do say is how it feels. Because remember, it's the state of mind that matters. Not what we do, but the state of mind. So I'm going to create a job that when I do it, I'm going to just smile every day when I go to work. When I'm at the job, I'm just having the best time. I'm surrounded by loving and wonderful people. I'm doing things that I really like to do. As a matter of fact, I enjoy it so much I can't believe I'm actually getting paid for it. And when I go home, I love leaving my job and coming home and being at home. In other words, I have a perfect job. Now, the logical mind wants to jump in here and give all kinds of reasons why you can't have it. For instance, it might say, well, of course I want that, but I don't know what kind of job it is. You don't need to know what kind of job. What you need to know is how it feels. You don't need to know where the job is. You just need to know how it feels when you go there. And when you hold that in your mind and you keep thinking ahead, I'm going to get the job. This is my job. And you actually see yourself in it right now. How is that going to feel? Nice. And then you just, it's like you're planting a seed in the ground. Put it down, you cover it with a little soil, and you water it. You don't have to keep digging it up to see if it grows. You just keep holding that thought. I have the perfect job. I'm going to be in the perfect job, surrounded by loving, supportive people. Happy, happy, happy. My brother, who passed away recently, was going through a divorce, and he ended up, this is back in the 60s, in the late 60s, with a one-year-old Rambler. The Rambler was a very cheap car back then. Didn't even make them anymore. And he was driving this fairly new Rambler around. And he happened to talk to my brother, Warren, and he said, you know, that's a good car, but I just really would like another car. And my brother, Warren, said, if you could have any car you would want, what kind would it be? And he said, well, I've been looking at these 1965 Corvettes. I like them the best. And Warren said, okay, here's what you do. Every time you get in the Rambler, grab hold of the wheel, and you say, I'm now driving a Corvette. He says, when you get a chance, go down to the showroom. Anytime there's a Corvette like the one you want, you go in and you sit in it. You imagine yourself driving it. And Lonnie said, but I don't know how I can afford it. He says, don't tell me anything about how or when. Just do this. And so my brother did. He'd go down and he'd sit in Corvettes and he would get the feel, he'd get how it smelt, he would look and see how it looked out the windshield, he looked at the dashboard, he'd sometimes take him for a little ride, test drive, he got the feel of it, he knew what the cars felt like, what they drove like, everything about them. And then when he would get in his Rambler, he would imagine himself driving that Corvette. And one day, he was pulled up to a stop sign, light turned green, and he pulled out into the intersection, and this fellow came by on a pickup and just hit that car, hit that Rambler right upside, and totaled the car completely. And my brother called my other brother Warren. He says, Warren, I just got in a wreck. And so Warren came over immediately, and there was Lonnie, sitting on the curb, his hands in his head, head in his hands, and he said, my God, he says, you know, I was going to sell that Rambler to get the Corvette. And he says, now it's wrecked. And Warren said, hold on to the dream. Lonnie did. I'm going to find out the settlement on that wreck bought him his Corvette. It was just the Corvette he wanted, the color he wanted. It was everything that he wanted. He manifested a Corvette from a Rambler. But it was a process of holding things in mind and not saying how, not laying up arguments against how it could be done, not arguing and setting up the parameters. I'll get the Corvette, but I have to save up this amount of money, and I have to get this job, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. No, he just got behind the wheel of his Rambler and drove the Corvette, and one day it manifested. And it didn't manifest in the way that he thought it would. I think that's another key area. You have to hold on what it feels like. Hold the dream. And quit outlining, quit telling the universe how it's going to work. Joseph Campbell said once, he said, life always turns out perfectly. It rarely turns out the way you think it's going to, but it ends up turning out perfectly. You really have the right state of mind to look at it. And so when it comes to manifesting, have fun. See what you can do. Long as it doesn't hurt anybody or rob from anybody, why would you want him to do that anyway? Then why not? Why not have a good job? Why not have a happy lifestyle? Why not have friends around you that are supportive and loving and care for you? Why not be in places where there are adventures if that's what you want to do? There's nothing preventing you from anything except yourself. With that, I'm going to end this little talk with a little bit of meditation here for just a few minutes, and then we'll have some questions and answers. And then following that, we'll have a final meditation. So let's just go within our heart right now. Sit real still. Smile. Breath. Molly, are you there? Jeremy, are you there? Hello?
Yes. Yes, Shiva.
I don't know if we lost our main person or not. It doesn't sound like it. But if you're on the line, doesn't look like we're going to be able to take any questions or answers if you're able to hear me.
Shiva, so, we can take questions and answers.
Oh, you're there. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me. Yes, we will be able to take questions when you're complete and ready for that.
I'm ready right now. Thank you, Molly.
Mm-hmm. But just as a reminder to everyone, I didn't really get a chance to catch up with you on the structure. Just want to let you know to press 1 on your keypad if you have a question or a reflection you'd like to share. And it'll notify me quietly, and I'll go ahead and say your name, and then can proceed. So for anyone who would like to share, reflect, comment, please press 1 on your keypad now. Jeremy, I believe you had something. Jeremy?
Yes. Molly?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. One of the things that strikes me is the point about letting go of the how. And for me, I feel like it's a combination of, you know, I've experienced the things that Shiva has talked about, and I think that we all have to some degree. And so it's that, to me, it's that kind of combination of both letting go of the how, and then also taking action on those steps that we feel intuitively that we need to take that are kind of integral to that, you know, to the process.
I think the thing about that is that if you notice the story that I told about my brother manifesting the Corvette, he actually went out to the dealerships and put himself in a situation where he could get the feel of it. And then he imagined himself driving that when it wasn't, you know, he's driving a Rambler, you know? How silly that might look to people, but that's the way it works. And we manifest things all the time. Sometimes we feel like we have to do things before we can allow ourselves to have it. We have to say, I can have that, but first I have to take a class. Well, then the universe waits until you take the class, until it can give it to you, because you won't accept it before that. So there's manifesting is quite an art, and it's something that you it's a lot of fun to practice, actually. Practice doing it. Any other questions or comments?
And don't be shy. Pressing 1 on your keypad will note to me that you would like to comment, so go right ahead. And so, Shiva, one thing that I would like to just make an observation on, and, looks like we have a question here. David, go ahead, David.
Hey, Shiva, it's David Sawyer.
Hi, David.
Thank you for this call. I have a question about manifesting internal states rather than external manifestations, and what could you say about, you know, seems what sort of too self-referential to talk about manifesting enlightenment, but manifesting the state of joy itself in yourself, irregardless of circumstances. And can you say a little bit about that path and how that is different from manifesting external realities, or is it the same?
I think the thing that when it comes to in manifesting things like joy and peace, there are lots of the elements that are the same. I think when we get into why we don't manifest things is we can start looking at the arguments that we have as to why we can't have it. Now, not everything that you want you're going to get. Let's just understand that one. That's not, you know, we are not in this thing where, you know, suddenly you can say, well, I'm going to have $1 billion in 2 weeks. You know, it's not gonna. It's you know, you have to have a sense that you can actually accomplish it. So it's something that you have to feel at the inner level that you can actually have. In the case of my brother's Corvette, he actually saw that he could do it. He didn't know how, but he knows that it was out there and it was within the price range of something he could get within the future, maybe not currently. When it comes to things like joy and peace, when it's hard, when you're in a situation that's full of anger or anxiety, or you're in a situation where it's depressive, to think about anything outside of that bubble, it's very hard to deal with someone who's in depression, because what can you say? But I think the thing that we can do is we can have compassion for ourselves and for others. And I think if you start looking at the arguments that you have against joy and the arguments that you have against peace, you know, you say, I would have peace, but these people around me, or but the news, or but, you know, the state of the world, or I would have peace, and we start immediately arguing with the concept of actually having it right here, right now. Enlightenment is no different. The Buddha said, everyone and everything is always enlightened. We just don't see it. So what do we have? That's why it's called an awakening. It's not an attaining. It's called an awakening. You are enlightened. Silly question. But you don't realize it yet. The reason you don't realize it is because you argue against it constantly. You're always saying, I don't deserve it, or I'm not good enough, or I've got to do this, or why can't I do this? I've got to work this out. I've got to do that. There's all these questions. And if you can imagine, just imagine what it would be like to be enlightened and hold that when you're going through states that are not enlightened, just like my brother held that steering wheel of that Rambler, imagining it to be a Corvette as much as he could. You can imagine what it's like. I had a teacher once tell me, he said, he took us into a meditation and he says, now open your eyes and imagine that you're looking through the eye, looking out into the world through the eyes of Christ. What does that look like? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it's like to look out into the world through the eyes of a totally enlightened being, and then set yourself there and say, I'm here. You're driving a Rambler, but you're looking at a Corvette. You're being it. That's key, the theme for this evening. Be it before you get it. I've said many times that there's a lag time between realization and the actualization. you have a realization about something, but before you can actually actualize it into your life, there's usually quite a bit of time. But in the meantime, from that realization to the actualization, you keep holding on to the idea. And if that idea is to have peace, then you start imagining during times when there are no peace, what would it feel like? What could it possibly feel like to have peace in this circumstance? And it won't be easy at first, because everything in your mind and your body is telling you, you can't have peace in this circumstance. But you can. You absolutely can. But if you start looking at your arguments against it, I think that's where you have to let go of those. You know, just let go of it. Be gentle with yourself.
This is Molly, and I just would like to say that so beautifully ties in with what we shared last week in our meditation on last week's Clear Light Call, the arguments that we make for our own limitations. And it seemed like something so simple.
Well, sometimes simple things are not so easy to. It's not easy to imagine driving a Corvette when you're driving a Ram. It's just that mean, but you know, it can be done. And what was, you know, I think that's the, I'm think we're going to get here to the end. I'm feeling an end coming here pretty soon. So let's have one or two more questions, because I'm feeling like the ending is coming up. Is there any other question? Anyone out there?
Uh-huh. Yes, Kenneth? Hello, Shiva. This is Ramananda.
Hi, Ramananda. Yes.
Well, one of the things that come to mind in listening to this conversation this evening and the teaching is the concept of the ego that gets in the way of our ability to recognize what is in the way of our ability to manifest, our ability to attain or understand or realize enlightenment. And so the big struggle is, how do we dissolve the ego? How do we get rid of that? And the Course says, you've always said, and especially in sitting in meditations with you, when the ability to stop thought through your ability to stop thought and be in that circumstance, we can get an idea of what it's like to be in enlightened mind. Then we got to go home and practice our own meditation and try to attain that same state of mind. So anyway, just my comments as a listening to this and thinking about it. So, namaste.
Basically, what you're saying is that you would come and sit with me, like you're going into the car dealership and sitting inside the car, and then you go home and try to drive that car when you're at home, in your mind.
Yes.
That would cause the manifest, and that's exactly how it works. That's exactly, very good. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Is there one more question? I would like for us now to go into 3 minutes silent meditation. At the end of the meditation, Molly will ring a bell, and I will say a few words, and I'll end up with a namaste. And before we do that, is Jennifer there?
Yes.
She is, Shiva, and she actually did raise her hand with a question.
Yeah. Oh, we have another question? Who was that?
Mm-hmm. Jen.
Oh, okay. Jen. Okay.
But what did you?
Well, I was going to ask
you. What was your question?
New discussion board, but if you have a question first, let's handle that.
It's gone now. I don't remember what it was.
Well, that's the way it is.
But,
welcome to the world.
You wanted me to mention the discussion board?
Yeah.
Before going into meditation?
Yeah. Are we have coming up? Let's give a little announcement on that.
Yes, I'd be happy to. So it's a great time to mention this, because if you do have questions, if you, like me, forgot them temporarily, we can continue this conversation online on our discussion forum called Clear Light Conversations. And there's a link to that on our website, as well as the email that was sent out about this call. But it's basically clearlightcommunity.com/forum. And I've started with a couple of questions that we, or discussion topics, but it's a place for us to come and discuss anything we want, including questions that come up from the Clear Light calls, questions about meditation practice, or it comes to mind. Maybe I'll post the question that went through my head later.
Well, I'm sorry I took your question away, but it gives us something to look forward to on our discussion board. That's for sure. Okay, did that question have to do with the having whether it's right to manifest things or not? I thought I handled that. That was an earlier question. Oh, well.
That was a question that I had posed. Yeah, that was a question, and I
think I answered that.
I guess what I was thinking was about whether it's even necessary. Why would you need to learn how to manifest? But I have to figure it out. I'll post it on the discussion board.
Oh,
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, figure out your question. Sounds like a good one that you couldn't ask. That's usually the best kind. So, and that's the good thing about the wind chimes going on in the background. That's the good thing about the discussion board, is it gives you a chance to call, to write in, and we can deal with these questions you have. I'm very excited about that. So with that being said, I'd like us to now just center ourselves in our heart. I'm going to meditate, like I said, for 3 minutes. At the end of 3 minutes, I will say namaste. And each one of you will say namaste, and that will be the end of the call. And I want to thank all of you for being here. Let's center into your heart, just as we all connect together. Breath within. Keep breathing right into your heart. Smile.
Very good. Take a breath. Slowly open your eyes and listen to the words of truth. You are created in the image and likeness of God. You are a creator. You are a perceiver. You are blessed. You are perfect. You are wondrous. You are magical. Your life is there for you to explore and to have fun with. Create a beautiful for yourself. Surround yourself with loving and happy people. Enjoy this beautiful world. Pay attention to the good. Pay attention to that that brings your heart peace, that that causes your soul to sing. Life is good, and you're a part of it. Namaste.
Namaste. Everyone is unmuted if you'd like to say namaste, and we invite you to stay on the line if you would like for further reflection and a few brief, quiet closing announcements this evening.
Namaste.
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 Namaste. Just again invite you all to come together virtually on the discussion board at clearlightcommunity.com/forum and to continue to check back to the blog. And a warm thanks to Xander Dorje for helping Shiva to keep that blog up. Thank you, Xander. So please stay in touch with us and look forward to seeing you here next week for part 4 of this first 4-part series. And with that, is there anyone that would just like to say any further closing comments, reflections, or words tonight? Thank you so much, each of you, for your patience with never experienced this technology going in and out like it has tonight. And as we roll with what comes to us in the present moment, we continue to unfold and deepen our experience together. And I'm honored to share this with you. And may you have a blessed week. Namaste.
Thank you, Molly.
Thank you, Jeremy, for co-hosting tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you, Molly.
Jeremy, it was wonderful to hear your voice. This is David. Thank you for that introduction.
Thank you, David.
You are currently the only person in this conference.